Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Reconnect and Reclaim You. I am your host, Grief Awareness Specialist and Restorative Living Coach, Terry Pugh. We are coming to you tonight from Nashville, Tennessee, in the comfort of my home in South Nashville. And I am thrilled tonight to have as a guest one of my dear friends, Vic Sorrell, who is an amazing vocalist, songwriter, and co-founder of Thrive Space.
Yay!
Welcome!
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good to have you.
I love your sanctuary.
Thank you so much.
Lots of candles.
Lots of candles. We've been talking about them candles. So, Vic, tell our listeners a little bit about the beauty of you.
The beauty of me. Which part?
Oh, whatever you want to share.
Well,
we're all friends here, right?
Yeah, we are friends. And, you know, I guess what I would like to start with is just, you know, I'm someone who has sort of reconnected with what I consider to be the truth of myself, and that is that I'm here to be an instrument for the power of love on the planet. And that can happen in so many different ways. I consider myself a communicator. It has everything to do with, you know, how you show up in a room, the presence that you bring to a space, the words that you use, the body language that you use, the music that I write and that I sing. It's funny how in the last few years it's become very important to me that music that I am affiliated with is inspirational in nature, and that it provides an uplifting message, that it provides an empowering message. Hopefully, the music that I co-create helps people to remember the truth of who they are, the power that they possess to actually co-create their dreams.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And I've heard your music, and I believe the first time that I heard you sing, I bought the CD. So that's how profound it is, because it resonates. It's almost... it's one of those things where when you listen to your music, it's as if you wrote that song for that person that's listening, and how that can translate over to multiple people, you know, to me is kind of a sign that there is a longing there of people wanting to be connected.
Yeah, and I think there's a truth that we share. And so when you create anything from the truth of who you are, from your authenticity, then it carries with it that fiber of truth that is like a thread that connects us all,
right?
As a humanity, you know, and we resonate with that authenticity. I think that's one of the reasons why it would make sense that we would hear some music and feel like it was created for us. You know, if it was created in the truth of who that songwriter is, then we're going to resonate with that.
Right.
You know, it's that same truth.
Absolutely. I want to take just a real quick second here and tell anyone that's listening, if you want to listen on your phone or if you have a question or a comment, you can dial in at 805-292-0349. Now, if you dial that, you can simply sit there and listen to us live as you drive home or, you know, sitting in traffic, getting your nails done, whatever works for you. And if you want to ask a question, it's easy breezy. You just hit number one, and I believe it's like pound one, and it will throw you onto the dashboard. And when you want to ask a question, after you hit pound one, I'll see a cute little question mark on my dashboard, and we'll go from there. So there you have it. We're going to get back to the good stuff now that we've got all that juicy stuff out of the way. So, Thrive Space.
Yeah. The latest of the endeavors,
yes.
Thrive Space, yeah. So Thrive Space began when I started doing some work one-on-one with an intuitive life coach by the name of Jory Martinez-Woods here in Nashville. And she has quite an extensive background in Montessori education and in personal growth work and empowerment work and education in general. And she introduced me to the concept of embodiment and what it actually means to basically enough of a cultivated sense of your body wisdom and your body knowledge and what your body has to offer you about who you are that you can actually live moment to moment taking the cues that your body offers you to create your most authentic experience of life. That's very wordy. Basically, what that means to me is when I tap into what's going on from my neck down, then I am privy to information that could be entirely different than what's just going on from my neck up.
Right.
My thoughts, because a lot of times, you know, our thoughts contain fears, our thoughts contain anxieties, our thoughts contain things that are not real. And so in order to tap into what truly is real for us, this concept of dropping in, as Jory has put it so eloquently, dropping in to what's going on in our body by means of starting to move your body with an intended purpose of giving it the opportunity to communicate to you. A lot of times I have been astounded by things that have come up for me just by making the time and the space to listen to my body and what it might have to offer me. So Thrive Space was sort of born out of the concept that when you incorporate movement, it's quite possible that you invite a whole new level of authenticity and originality to your experience. How better to know that you're thriving in life than by being able to feel it in every cell of your body?
Right.
Abraham Hicks talks about feeling like every cell in your body is smiling. You know, and that's a feeling I hope that we can all relate to. It's like, what is it that you do or that you experience in life and you feel like every cell of your body is smiling? Follow that.
Right.
Right? And so embodiment for me has been a very new and a very beautiful concept to explore. So Thrive Space started out of the desire to have a conversation on a regular basis about what thriving means to us personally. Because as cells of a body known as planet Earth, we realize that if our planet is going to thrive, that the thrive happens through each of us.
Right.
I think it's true for me that the majority of the decay that we see on the planet in all the different forms is as the result of humanity's decay and humanity as a whole sort of losing touch with who we truly are, becoming distracted by illusion, becoming distracted by fear and lack and concepts that are the result of our brokenness, of our disconnection from the source of what we truly are.
Right. Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you think that where does vulnerability come in there? You know, because when we set out to thrive,
right?
You know, sometimes we are our own worst critic.
Right.
You know, in freeing ourselves up to allow ourselves to step into all that we are.
Interesting that you used the term worst critic, our own worst critic. I believe it's true that we are the only critic that we are ever susceptible to, because if we have critics outside of ourselves that are offering us critical information, in order for it to affect us, we have to agree on some level.
Absolutely.
That what they're offering is true. And so if we don't, then we're not necessarily, we're not at the effect of that criticism. However, we have, as you said, this internal critic that is the utmost. We are at the utmost effect of that source, of that what can be a power in our lives. So vulnerability, the question that you asked, I think we have to get to a place where we recognize what it is. When we feel that burn within ourselves, when we're about to embark on a new experience, when we are maybe entertaining the possibility of creating something that we've always wanted to create, write a book, write a song, could be anything, cook a meal for a group of friends when we've never done that before and that's out of our comfort zone. And we experience that burn, that fear, that angst inside of us. Well, we have to know what to do with it. A lot of times if we're not very aware of what it is, then we will mistakenly stop and turn and run.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The fight or flight
Absolutely.
Sort of situation occurs. So there is, I think, a value in recognizing the value of fear that arises when your physical safety is at risk, when you're being chased by a tiger, as has been discussed, or when your ego is at risk. Your ego being the part of you that's basically committed to keeping you playing small,
mm-hmm.
the part of you that's committed to your limitations. So the vulnerability piece obviously arises as the result of the ego, and we have to be able to recognize that. When we get to a place, I think, that we welcome vulnerability, that we can dance with vulnerability, we can know what it is when we feel it in our bodies, that gets back to that embodiment piece. And we can welcome it and we can say, okay, this is something I can breathe through.
Right.
This is something I can move through. This is not something that necessarily means I have to stop and run. It means I'm about to grow. I'm about to expand. It's an indicator,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I'm about to step into a new dimension of my life. And so I have the opportunity to embrace this feeling, know what it is, and continue.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that, you know, the stepping into the new part of our life. And I know I was, I had the privilege and the good fortune of attending the first Thrive class that you did. And I so much came from that, not just the bonding from the group itself, but the openness and the raw authenticity that people bring to the table. And, you know, I mean, and sometimes it's emotional, you know what I mean, because we catch ourselves wanting to step into all that we believe that we are, but then that fear creeps up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, you know, it sounds crazy to say it, comforting to know that there are other people that are immobilized by those invisible shackles also. So when you get together in a group of people and you have that like-minded support and you are there to hold that space, that sacred space, and witness this transformational work and, you know, support everyone through that, there is something that comes of that that as a society we don't see much anymore because we're in such a dog-eat-dog, we're in milk-bone underwear kind of world, you know? I mean, you know, I mean, it's always, you know,
you did that. Milk-bone underwear?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can use that.
I might have to.
You know, but I mean, it's like, you know, everybody wants to one-up.
Yeah.
The other person,
yeah.
and that's not even being your authentic self, because that's your ego struggling to get air at the top,
right.
You know?
Yeah, what if we dared to not compare?
Right.
What if we dared to not be concerned with what the other flowers in the garden are doing, how they're blooming, and we just simply commit to our own bloom? I'm here, and I'm willing to bloom. I'm willing to unfold whatever that means for me so that I can give the highest expression of myself in service of love on the planet. I mean, you know, that's a bit lofty, airy-fairy, but that's basically what it boils down to. You know, if I'm able to hone in on my own unfoldment and commit to me being able to just bloom, then what better gift can I really offer?
Right.
When we're always comparing what we have to offer, then we're always going to have the opportunity to choose not to offer it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're just saying, look, I've got what I've got to give and I'm going to give it. And I'm just going to trust that it's going to be enough. I'm going to decide that it's enough, basically. Because being enough always boils down to the decision to be enough.
Right.
Not about qualifiers. It's not about I'm enough when I do this, or I'm enough after I've lost this 20 pounds, or I'm enough once I have this hair transplant. It's about deciding I'm enough now, I have contributions that are worthy of being made, and I'm about the business of making those contributions, period.
Right.
Here we go.
Right.
And when vulnerability arises, I know what it is, I'm clear about it, I'm going to dance with it. And Thrive Space is an opportunity to find strength and community around that kind of focused, intention-based living. We, I think, can all benefit from having a sense of, like you said before, being in a room with people who are also committed to their own unfoldment and who are past the need to have pretense, to entertain pretense, to entertain not enoughness, but instead we want to get together and support each other in what are we here to contribute, how do we want to do it, let's support each other in being about that.
Right. So how do you meet, you have meetings, can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. So right now we meet on the last Thursday of every month at Out Central Community Center on Church Street here in Nashville. It's in the evening, usually around 6:30, and it's just called the Thrive Space Monthly Gathering. And it's a free event, and we normally have some kind of program. We rarely meet without any structure. We normally have a guest facilitator, or Jory or myself will facilitate. We have a conversation about some aspect of thriving. It can be anything from psychological concepts to nutritional concepts to anything that has to do with getting the most out of this life experience and being at our best. And so we have that monthly gathering. We also have workshops that are available for people who are interested and sort of doing the deeper work on a regular basis. And so those are on an ongoing basis. Right now we have one on Monday evenings at Unity of Nashville on Franklin Road. We also have one on Wednesday evenings at Out Central, and those will be starting over in the coming weeks. So folks who are interested in this work can sort of find out more about it on our Facebook page. If they just go to Facebook and search for Thrive Space, one word, the page will pop up, and they can be kept in the know about what we've got going on.
In the know about how they can thrive. Do you find, because I know for me, doing the work that I do as a grief specialist, there's a lot of numbness out there,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think for some people, the notion of, and I say some people, and I actually can qualify myself as being in that group at one point in my life, feeling that tug, hearing that voice, hearing the whisper, working the job that you didn't quite feel like you were contributing a lot to, but it was a job and you were making okay money, and you know, you kind of knew there was something else you're supposed to be doing, but you weren't quite sure what.
Right.
And I think for people who may not be familiar with the process of even how to begin to thrive, joining or coming to one of these, you know, monthly groups and just kind of sitting in and listening and being a part of it, because a lot of times that those aha moments come, you know, they come there and it's like, who knew?
Great
you know?
Point. In my experience, I've found that if I make regular time for breakthrough, breakthrough occurs.
Mm-hmm.
If I get busy in my life and I allow myself to be focused on every little thing as it comes at me without having committed a certain time every day or every week or whatever works for me for breakthrough, then I'm less likely to be in touch with what's going on in my life that is keeping me from doing
right.
exactly what it is that I truly want to do. It's keeping me from making the contributions that I really want to make. And so that's another, I think, benefit of Thrive Space is that it is a, we call it a container for breakthrough, because you are going to a space with like-minded people, a very safe space, because everybody that's there understands that the whole point is to be your most vulnerable, most authentic self that you can possibly be. And we're all open to, okay, what's going on with me that's keeping me from actually thriving in my daily life like I deserve to, like I would want to, and like the world needs me to? That's the other aspect. I think the world today is in a place that it literally craves people to contribute from a place of thriving in their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
It craves us realizing our own thrive, living at that level, and then going out into the world and contributing from that energy, from that frequency of thriving.
I agree. Because we seem to, from a social standpoint, be in a huge deficit of compassion, understanding, empathy, even love, you know. And love is the root of all of it.
And love is thrive. Mm-hmm. And thrive is love. You know, I think there is no thrive without love. First and foremost, self-love. And being able to really wear that in the most beautiful, authentic appreciation of being alive and being who you are and having the opportunity to express at the highest level as the person that you are, you know. I can't say for myself that I know for sure that I'm coming back as another person or another being. I don't know that. What I do know is that I'm here now as Vic Sorrell, and my intention is to express at the highest possible level that I can while I'm here in this life with the gifts that I've been given. Thrive Space helps me to keep that goal at the front of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's always my first intention. And then I'll get about the business of doing the dishes and getting the dog out and all the things that need to be done. But first and foremost, am I doing everything that I can do today to allow my highest expression as the man that I am now?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and we talked because today's not the first time we've ever spoken. So we've had conversations, really great conversations about life and all kinds of good stuff in the past. And one of the things that I was completely moved by when we were in a conversation one time was because I had given you a compliment and you said, well, thank you. And, you know, I hear a lot, and there's so many people, you know, and you probably know those people also, that we're not even so confident in our own being that we take that compliment. And it's not from a place of ego.
Mm-hmm.
It's just from owning our gift, our beauty, our who we are, you know. And so I really don't have a clue where I'm even going with that. That is something that I think it's a tap dance, I think, a mental tap dance that we do with the ego and with being vulnerable.
Yeah.
And it's not a place for me of ego when someone gives a compliment and you simply say thank you and you own it because it is truly, you know, it's a gift.
Unless you're not in a place yet where you can see it as being true.
Right.
About yourself, you know, or whether you see the opportunity in seeing it as true about yourself. A lot of times we're raised to focus on what we can do for others and not so much on how we are, you know. And yet there's this insidious obsession with how we are as the result of being that way. We can't get over how we are. We're so consumed with how we are and how we aren't that we're almost paralyzed, you know, ironically, in not being able to give what we have because we're so consumed with the fear that it's not enough and that we're not enough.
Right.
So it's an interesting thing to ponder where we must be if we're not able to graciously embrace a compliment and what that's saying about our inability to see ourselves.
Right.
As we truly are. You know? You know, even if I can't see necessarily a compliment that somebody else has given me, if they're seeing it, I want to think about seeing it.
Right.
I want to entertain it.
Right.
The possibility, right? Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know about that. But you know what? I'm going to think about it. Thank you.
It's like, thank you.
Right. You know, it's just such an interesting thing to think about. Where we must be if we're not able to embrace a compliment, and where we have the opportunity to shift, and what that power can mean for us.
Yeah, I think when we are in a visual holding pattern and we don't particularly see or we can't accept that compliment, sometimes for me what that has meant in the past is a lack of ability to believe in myself, you know, a lack of ability to believe that I really do have anything to bring to the table, you know. And the truth of the matter is we're all born into this world with gifts and talents, you know, that, and you know, it doesn't, when I say gifts and talents, it doesn't mean that, you know, we're all conductors of the world's greatest, you know, symphony. But, I mean, from the largest to the smallest, because the reality is if we don't have our measuring stick out, they're all on the same playing field.
Well, amen. And we don't all need to be the director of the symphony. That's the thing.
Right.
That there is so much work that is dying to be done, literally, dying to be done on the planet, that doesn't have anything to do with fame,
right?
But has everything to do with healing broken hearts and healing broken structures and systems so that our world can be better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much talk in the media a lot of times, well, in the self-help of media, we'll say that arena, about an obsession with fame and what that's about, you know, and somebody feeling like they need power outside of themselves in order to feel okay.
Right.
And it truly is a very interesting paradigm to consider, because I'm someone who I can say in my life, from a very early age, you know, I've wanted to be famous, I've wanted to be in the light, I've wanted to be on stage. And I've had to get really still and very careful about contemplating, okay, what really is that? And what I realize now is that's about wanting to give gifts that are associated with being on stage and being in public and being in the light, not necessarily about acquiring some power that comes to me from the outside as the result of being on stage.
Right.
The power is here, right? And so therefore, I'm able to go and do and give my gifts now on the level wherever they serve well. I don't have to be connected to, well, is it nationally syndicated? Is it, you know, how many people are going to be there? You know, well, what am I going to get paid? I don't have to be connected to that, because I realize that it's about giving the gift where there's a need for the gift.
Wow.
The rest takes care of itself. The expansion takes care of itself as we show up and as we continue to flow our energy in any consistent direction. Then all of that takes care of itself. The beautiful part is the kickback that you get from giving the gift that you most want to give happens no matter whether you give it in a room full of 5 people or 500,000 people.
Right.
You get that, you know, the only thing I can really think of to call it is that divine exchange energy coming back to you.
Mm-hmm.
As the result of giving the gift that you most want to give. And that's why it makes so much sense to me that, you know, you can, giving any gift at any place that it serves well. I mentioned before about cooking a meal for, you know, for family or for friends or whatever. You know, if that's a gift that you really love to give, then the benefits are all there for you in that moment that you give the gift immediately.
Right. Even hugs. You know,
smiles.
You know, there's so many things that I think sometimes we get stuck maybe in a pattern of, you know, the benefit of or the gift. Mm-hmm. You know, and so people think, they try to think bigger, because we live in that, you know, everything needs to be supersized world. Mm-hmm. And the reality is the world, in all that supersizedness, there's so much emptiness.
There can be.
You know?
You know, it all depends on where you started.
Right.
Right? It's like as things in the material world get bigger, we can feel completely enveloped by it,
mm-hmm.
and we can feel smaller and smaller and smaller if we weren't big to begin with.
Right.
If we weren't authentic to begin with. If we weren't rooted in the power that is our true nature
right.
to begin with. Then all of the bigness in the world can just eat our lunch. Because then we feel like we got to maintain this bigness.
Right.
Because
right.
we weren't big before, and all of a sudden it's come to us, and so we got to maintain this bigness. But, you know, if you're in a place of authentic power prior to anything in the material world growing, then I don't know if there's as much fear around things having to be a certain way in order for you to be okay.
Well, I can actually answer that because we were just having a conversation earlier before the show tonight, and I had shared, and I'll share with our listeners, you know, I work a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I know that there are other things that are in alignment for me to be doing as far as gift, purpose, you know, divine plan, whatever you want to call it. And the more focused and the more intention and the more authentic I am with cultivating that and supporting that vision, and I don't mean like, you know, just getting the reins and just, you know, got to do it. Just on the inside, being willing.
Committed,
yeah. To all that is and all that is to be, because it already is. And for some, and that can be over people's heads, but the reality is what I am here to do is already defined. It's, you know, it's just a matter of me stepping into it.
You know it, in other
absolutely.
Words. You know exactly what it is that is there for you to bring you even more fulfillment and more fulfillment and more fulfillment. It's the result. I mean, it all hinges. Not it's the result, but it hinges on: are you willing to embrace that vulnerability dance to
right.
go through the stretching that is required
mm-hmm.
in the unfoldment process.
Exactly. You know, and what you said, you know, which is what sparked that thought in me, was when you commit, then you don't have to know how. You just have to support it.
Yes, and we can care far less about what other people think
mm-hmm.
than we realize.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, you know, I've heard it said before that we would care far less what people think about us if we realized how little they really do think about us, you know.
Right.
People are distracted by their own radar screen, their you know, their own agendas. And we might be a fleeting thought. What we're up to might, you know, distract them for 3 or 4 seconds, but then they're on to whatever they've got to take care of to meet the needs of their own world. So it is very possible to escape that self-imposed thumb
right.
of what people think about you, because they really don't that much. They don't.
Right.
You know, so do what you want
right.
while you can.
Well, and even when they are, even when we perceive that they are thinking about us, that's just a mirrored thing
right.
about their own stuff.
Exactly.
So it's not about us at all, you know. So aren't we special?
Yeah, what we bring up in people when we're presented with someone and we experience thoughts or feelings as a result of that, that's about us. That's about our own stuff. That's not about what they're doing or what they're not doing, right?
Right,
yeah.
Right. So what are some things that you can throw out there to our listeners that if they're on the fence about, you know, what some people will call following their dreams or creating whatever, what are some just basic, easy breezy beginner steps that they can take just to start shuffling their feet if they are hesitant about jumping out there and just thriving right off the bat,
mm-hmm.
you know?
For me, I think I remember starting out visualizing what my idea of the perfect day is.
Okay.
What am I doing during that day? What when I wake up that morning, where am I? What does my bedroom look like? What does my bed look like? Is there anyone with me there? What am I doing as soon as I wake up? What does my day hold for me? What kind of things will I do? What kind of people will I see? What kind of conversations will I have? What does my house look like? What kind of car do I drive? you know, it, you completely customize it, but it's basically about creating and holding a vision of what life, of what thriving is for you.
Right.
And then sort of working backwards and thinking, so if I want to experience being in the recording studio 4 days a week, for instance, recording my own songs, how might I make that welcome? What might making that welcome look like for me? You know, not so much how is that going to happen, because we're not responsible for the how.
Right.
But what might, what is mine to do, or who might I become that would make that reality more welcome in my life? And it might be that vulnerability standing right there.
Mm-hmm.
It might mean that I need to take my songs and have them heard by someone that has asked to hear them and I've been putting it off, right?
Right.
Because I'm not really sure of what they might think and how I might feel about what they might think, because this is my creative material, you see.
Exactly.
So, right.
I'm right there with you.
Mm-hmm. But what might be mine to do
mm-hmm.
today in order to make this thrive more welcome in my life?
And do you think that it's important to be mindful of the people that you are inviting into your experience of thriving? Because, you know, when we open up to be vulnerable mm-hmm. and we hand someone our precious work, our heart, our idea, and we trust that, you know, I'm being vulnerable, I'm going to hand this to you, and I'm trusting that you're going to hold this, you know, in a sacred space. If that person isn't quite healthy enough, they'll drop it or criticize it or whatever, and that seems to feed that cycle of, well, I should have never done that. See, I should still play small because I'm not quite ready for that,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
So if someone is in an environment or something, are there maybe meditation, maybe, you know, again, I say go to the Thrive meeting, you know, get on the Thrive Facebook page, you know, just maybe entertain the notion of stepping outside of our comfort zone.
Yeah, find somebody somewhere who is willing to have the audacity to say possibility is true.
Right.
You know, if we can conceive it, then there's a way to achieve it. There's actually an infinite number of ways to achieve it in truth. For the simple fact that if we've been able to conceive it, then it's already happened on some level. And
right.
It's already happening on some level. So it's just a matter of us sort of raising our personal frequency or our personal attitude, if you will, perspective, to the place of where that vision is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the vibration that that vision holds. We have to match that. Personally, our personal vibration, which a lot of times, you know, happens as a result of releasing thoughts and beliefs that are not serving us, that are not serving our highest good. You know, opportunities like Thrive Space classes help people to identify, what am I believing that might not be serving me
right.
in actually thriving?
Right.
What am I believing? What was offered to me? When I was a young person that I've never questioned and never challenged, but that it's very much in my life, might not be true at all, but it's very much at work in my daily life and keeping me, as you said before, kind of shackled, you know,
mm-hmm.
in fear.
Yeah. Well, and I did that song and dance for, you know, I journaled for several years, and then I you know, took notes, and then I did mental ticklers, and then I did all this stuff, and started working on a book probably 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I would work on it, and I would give people pieces of it to read, and, you know, and they would say, you know, oh, that's great. And then, you know, my stuff would come up, and I would be like, oh, my God, you know, they're saying it's great. Oh, what if it's successful? I don't know if I'm ready for this, you know, and then I would shelf it. And then I would hear that calling again, you know,
yeah.
write. It's not, you know, you need to write. And so I would write again. And it wasn't until I did the Thrive class, the first class, and attended the wonderful workshop that you guys did at Pinuel Ridge, that I committed to finishing my book by November of this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So was it a little overwhelming? Slightly.
Yeah.
You know, but once I stepped out of that, you know, and I stretched past that and I allowed myself to go there and be vulnerable and say, yeah, it's here for a reason. I know it's going to get done because I'm creating it, co-creating it, and I'm beautiful, you know.
And it's part of your expansion. It's like,
right.
It's impossible for you to finish that book without also experiencing a personal expansion.
And,
somewhat.
Yeah, and letting go of the notion that it has to be on Super Soul Sunday in front of Oprah Winfrey, or that it has to be up there with Wayne Dyer on the New York bestseller. I just need to write the damn book.
Right.
You know?
And on that note, can we talk a minute about investing in the process?
Right.
Because that was always a challenge for me until recently, in that, well, I can't make a record until I'm sure that it's going to be a hit record.
Right.
And it's like, well, but what about your process? What about starting so that you can unfold into
mm-hmm.
that highest vision? Starting where you are with what you have so that you can allow something to have its process, because everything is a process. The reason that you're not where you want to be right now, if you're not, is because there is a process for you. There is an expansion process. There is an unfoldment process that is awaiting you.
Right.
That a lot of things can get in the way of. Practicality disguised as fear is one of my most favorite concepts
mm-hmm.
of barriers to our expansion. Practicality disguised as fear. You know, because we think that in order to be wise, in order to be smart, that certain things have to be a certain way in our lives. And a lot of times that is nothing but fear.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but fear.
What is it that fear is false evidence appearing to be real?
Yeah.
You know, and so many times I think we name it and we claim it, and somehow or another fear has this really strange way of being like a really comfortable, uncomfortable friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we don't particularly want, when we're ready to shine, we don't particularly like the fact that fear is attached to us at the hip. But it keeps us protected. You know, I gave an analogy to a friend of mine the other night about an outlet in the wall. And you know, when you buy a new appliance or something, and it's got the little cord, you know, and it's got that little safety plastic thing over the end of it. Mm-hmm. To me, that represents fear. It's like our potential and the universe is the outlet, and it's there, and it's charging, and it's thriving, and it's like,
please plug in.
Yeah, plug into me, you know, and we can just, you know, miss and miss and miss because we haven't quite dropped those limiting beliefs, taken off the
you got to take
the
off
fear.
The plastic.
Yes.
Take
have,
off what's not real.
Exactly.
The pretense.
Exactly.
The fear.
And plug in.
Absolutely.
And magic happens.
Absolutely.
You know, and we just have to, you know, the magical stuff is, you know, it's divine. It's our birthright.
And that part of ourselves that we're so afraid to show many times, that truest, most real, you know, a lot of times for most people, it's the most quirky part of ourselves, the most dorky part of ourselves, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
That's where our genius lives.
Right.
That's where our genius lives.
Absolutely.
And the most real part of ourselves that we tend to be afraid to show until we realize, oh, that's what happens when I really step out and offer people who I am.
Right.
You know, that's the way it can feel if I really offer my heart, and I really offer what I love, and I stand here in love offering it.
Good stuff.
Yeah, that's great.
Good
that's
stuff.
Great stuff.
So, well, is there anything, anything else you want to share about Thrive, about your music, about just anything? I mean,
you know, I want to share how excited I am to just be in this process and having so many different things unfolding as the result of my willingness to let go of some of the things that were completed that I wasn't necessarily sure were completed.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like the whole let go of the shore. If you're going to swim, you have to let go of the shore.
Right, right.
And so, you know, I sort of had a process last spring where I released some things that I had, that I realized were completed for me, but that I was still flowing my energy to. And so when I released those things, it was amazing how these new opportunities came out of seemingly nowhere.
Right.
And that's so scary. Sometimes it can be so scary to let go of the shore. But if I advocate for one thing and one thing only, it is let go of the shore. Anything in your life, when you close your eyes, that the deepest part of yourself is saying, this represents the shore for me, let go of it. Let go of it. Let go of it. It's waiting so that something else can come and take its place. The
mm-hmm.
next piece of the expansion, the next piece of the process. I'm really excited about living that truth and seeing that happen in my day-to-day life and being willing to say, I recognize that I'm still mid-leap in a lot of ways,
mm-hmm.
but the support is showing up. The new opportunities are showing up. The new inspirations are showing up. See, that's something else that you can't really count on
right.
until you know it, until you can see it in your rear view. Like, wow, you know, the fact that I let go of that something that I was giving so much energy to, now that energy can appear in my life in the form of ideas for songs or ideas for books or ideas for, you know, whatever. Just new, fresh concepts can now come in because there's a place for them.
Right.
There's a place for it.
Because we've stirred up that energy, we've stirred up that thought process, you know, it's not stagnant anymore.
Yeah.
We're not just sitting there going, well, someday.
Yeah.
Someday.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great if one day, you know, we're really living it.
Right.
And that's a beautiful thing.
Right.
You know, and I think even in for me personally, even stepping into it, I still find there are moments of it that can be a little overwhelming because there is such a desire in me to trust the process
mm-hmm.
and maybe not let myself down.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And that's where I think the Thrive community comes in because it's like if you have those thoughts, you know, and you can share it and say, you know, look, this is kind of what I'm feeling like, you know, and there are individuals there that will, you know, they support and they don't try to fix, they don't try to coddle. It's not they just witness what you're going through,
mm-hmm.
and just by that simple witness, well, witnessing, it's okay because the facade of the fear goes away. And you just see, you know, okay, it's mine to be done, and, you know, I'm ready to do it.
And if you're in process, if you're growing, if you're moving and being still, because I'm a firm believer that being still is a very important part of moving intuitively and intentionally, if you are, you know that.
Right.
And therefore, there is no letting yourself down. I'm moving. I'm growing. I'm expanding. Sometimes letting go of a shore can be as simple as letting go of a grudge you've been holding.
Absolutely,
it can
yeah.
be as simple as letting go of self-doubt. A beautiful thing about life is that there are always shores that we can let go of. There are always new seas to swim, right? And it's just a matter of getting still enough to invite that still small voice to tell us, what's the shore for us? What are we holding on to needlessly that's keeping us from experiencing a more beautiful, more rich, more yummy, Jory. Jory's always in the room. More yummy experience of life.
Right.
You know? There's always a shore we can let go of. So, isn't that a beautiful thing about life?
It is.
Always renewing, always rebirthing, always expanding, so long as we're willing to renew and expand and rebirth.
And, you know, part of the process is that once you step into that, you know, I've heard it many times, once you've expanded, there is no going back. And I really feel that that's true for me particularly. I mean, and I'm sure for most people that start a process like this, because once you answer that call and you just trust, there is something so freeing about just trusting, not having to have, when I say not having a plan, that doesn't mean just sitting there. It's kind of like I said to someone one day, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, I want to lose weight, and just sit there. You've got to take action. You know, you've got to do steps. But, you know, there's something really beautiful and freeing about just saying, okay.
If I have learned anything in this period of my life, the last year, it is that there is a wing of your spirit house that cannot be built until you are willing to free fall into complete trust, into complete, it's like this abandon, this abandon of all that I know is that I'm following my heart.
Right.
All that I know is that I am moving toward where I feel more life, more joy, more fulfillment, more peace, more love. I don't know the first how things are going to happen or how this is going to come together. And it's like once you have that wing of your house built, then you can go in there anytime you need it from that point forward.
Mm-hmm.
But until you build that wing of your house, it's boarded up. You don't have access to it. You don't have access to the trust portal, to the
right.
trust place. No, I've lived that trust. I know what that feels like to do that. So I can go in there and get that anytime I need it. That's a life changer. That was a game changer for me, and is a game changer in process. But what I see in hindsight is that it was a very necessary wing to build on this house.
Yeah.
The trust wing.
The trust wing.
The trust wing.
That should be a song.
Okay.
Should be a song. Speaking of which, do you have any new music, anything going on that we should know about?
I do. I've been working with a very talented producer by the name of Godfrey Moore
mm-hmm.
here in town, who I'm very excited to collaborate with. And we have about 4 songs finished. So we're in a place now where it's like, is this going to be a 4-song EP, or are we going to work a little more and add some more to it and all of that? So we're in that beautiful place of listening still about it and just seeing what happens. But, yes, it's exciting because, you know, this is the first time that I've ever made a solo effort. I've done some work in previous years with a group called Source, collaborator Kenya Walker, and this was the first time that I actually used my resources to invest in me.
Nice.
And to give myself the opportunity to create the music that I've been hearing in my head when I was the only one on stage. At the front anyway. You know, I have a vision of a lot of people on stage with me. But
am I one of them?
Girl, if you want to be.
You do not want me up there.
I finally, you know, was willing to do that. And that was a great experience just to invest in my personal process and to give myself the opportunity to
thrive.
To thrive and to have the experience.
Right.
And that's the other thing is, you know, we can have so many preconceived notions of what's going to be waiting for us when we finally do get in the studio that we never go to the studio because I don't want to experience that, I don't want to experience that. And finally it comes down to, no, I want to have the experience.
Right.
And I want to be able to embrace it and just have it and say, okay, this is another thing that I have done. What I'm going to do with this music, time will tell.
Right.
And that doesn't matter. What matters is that I allow myself this experience because it's an experience that I'm very sure and very clear that my soul is craving.
Yeah. And, you know, and also there's that, you know, allowing ourselves that and that experience. Oftentimes when we work up that preconceived notion about what's going to happen and then we get there and we write a whole different script for it. You know?
Always is.
And that's just a beautiful thing.
Almost always is.
Wonderful. So we are getting ready to wrap up, but I have so enjoyed you being here. It's been so nice.
Yep.
And you can, if you'll tell people again where they can find you on Facebook.
ThriveSpace has a page on Facebook. We'd love for you to like that page. And I'm also on Facebook, Vic Sorrell, S-O-R-R-E-L-L, and V-I-C with no K. And I'd love to connect with anybody that way, too.
And can they find out more about your music by contacting you, or do you have a website for that, too, or is there anything?
Not a website yet.
Okay.
But they can contact me and find out anything they'd like to know.
Fantastic. Don't you just love being an open book?
Never easy.
Come on now. I just said you was an open book. Come on, man. No. Well, again, I have so enjoyed it. And anyone who is interested in reaching out to Vic, you've got the information there. And also we'll be in archives in just a few minutes. And so if you are catching the last half of the show, you will be able to listen to all of it in its entirety. And if you want to know, as I've said in previous shows, more about grief awareness and restorative living, you can find me on Facebook at terrypugh.com or at my website at www.terrypugh.com. And I am happy to assist with any questions that you may have. And I'm always open to questions, comments for end of show wrap-ups. So keep that in mind. So we're going to wrap up for today, and I will be back in 2 weeks with a wonderful guest, and we're going to be talking about natural burial. So that's going to be I talk about with listeners all the time. Some things are really comfortable, and they feel like your favorite sweater, and some things make you kind of step outside that box, you know? And so everything that I present with guests and the conversations that we have on the show, for me personally, they're all important, you know, and they allow not only myself and my guests, but also the listeners, the opportunity to kind of breathe into, you know, stretching just a little bit, growing just a little bit outside of where we normally are. And the intention is always that, you know, wherever you are on your journey, that something that you hear, you can stick in your tool belt and you can take it along with you, you know, and pull it out as a resource when you need to, you know. So,
and when that resistance comes up, that's another opportunity to look at.
Mm-hmm.
What if I let go of this?
Right.
What if I let go of this thought that's keeping me in resistance to entertaining this possibility,
right,
whatever it might be?
Yeah, absolutely.
I love the natural burial concept.
Mm-hmm.
Very important.
It is important,
very
close
to my heart.
And I'm excited about it. And that's going to be. We just got lots of great shows lined up in the next few months. But you know, every one of them, like I said, is something that I think adds just a little bit more to life.
Yeah.
You know, even natural burial, which does really add more to life. Well, we're going to be told that.
Right.
So. Okay, guys, I have appreciated you tonight. I'm going to cut you loose now. Until we meet again, please live well and increase your peace. Bye-bye.
Yay!